This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Baseball's all about the games, and the best in daily gaming is on the MLB app, where every day starts with new puzzles and challenges. Test your skills with MLB Pickle, the ultimate mystery player challenge, and Immaculate Grid, where stats and strategy collide. Or chase the $5.6 million jackpot and beat the streak, presented by BetMGM. And for an all-new spin on fantasy sports, there's Spinball. The game's official home for games is on the MLB app. MLB trademarks used with permission. No purchase necessary. Restrictions apply. For official rules, go to MLB.com/play/official rules.
Urlacher, who has been to six Pro Bowls, once the Defensive Rookie of the Year, once the Defensive Player of the Year in the National Football League, and the face of this Bears franchise.
Urlacher comes through the gut and sacks Tavares Jackson.
Having a pretty good game, Urlacher.
A phenomenal game.
You know, it's always a chess match with Brian Urlacher because he was so good, they would make everything look the exact same.
Quick throw, picked off Urlacher, and Brian Urlacher will cruise down the sideline and coast for the touchdown. Dropped, and Urlacher unloads on the rookie Colston.
And Urlacher comes up with his second turnover of the game.
The history of this position is unmatched by any other team. Bill George, Dick Butkus, Mike Singletary, and now, I can barely say it, me.
That's how you introduce him, the Bears linebacker from 2000 to 2012, the Hall of Famer, four-time first-team All-Pro, eight-time Pro Bowler, and you heard it, 2005 NFL Defensive Player of the Year, Brian Urlacher. Thanks for joining us here on Rahimi and Harris on The Score.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. I appreciate it. I like hearing those highlights. That was fun.
That's the idea. We want to like take you back, yeah. Transport you in the moment. Anything even stand out to
up.
You? Yeah. Does anything stand out to you from even that, hearing that just now?
Oh, all I could do was hear him, but in my mind, I'm running through those plays as they're calling them out because I couldn't see them. So I just heard, I hear the play-by-play, and then I try and picture the plays in my mind. I can see all of them. So it's cool. It's always fun to reminisce about the good plays.
Yeah.
If you want to see Brian Urlacher, you can see him. He's on Twitch as well. And it's always great to see you, Brian, and check in with you and see how you're doing. And also to see what you think about what your former team, the Bears, is doing. The news that Ben Johnson is the head coach. The news of the Ryan Poles getting an extension through 2029. Where are you with your former team as they try to get back to the levels of play that, of course, you guys were able to do during your time here?
It's exciting right now. I think when you look at what they've done with Ben Johnson, Dennis Allen as well, I thought was a key addition in this offseason. I like what he's done in his career as a D coordinator, but I'm excited about Caleb. You know, I think he's the guy for the job. Much better numbers than I expected last year out of him. You know, it's tough to be a rookie quarterback in the NFL. Take away those two guys, you know, the Redskins quarterback and the Broncos quarterback. And I think he's rookie of the year, you know, the way he played. But didn't turn the ball over. It's exciting to see what he's going to be able to do under Ben Johnson because he's going to put him in position to make a lot of plays, a lot of big plays like he did up there in Detroit with those guys.
I appreciate you talking about just the talent level too. And as you're analyzing the game, maybe watching the individual Bears games last season, what stood out to you about maybe the way he was able to adapt within game and then, you know, answer and try to make something happen to turn into a win in the fourth quarter?
Yeah, this is going to be bad, but he didn't have a lot of help last year. You know, I think, you have to get rid of the football. Sacks are on the quarterback and the offensive line. I'm not going to say it's all on the offensive line because you got to get rid of the football. But just the way he, kept himself in plays, you know, he extended plays sometimes too long. It's going to happen when you're trying to make plays. But he'll get better at those situations as well and understand how much time he has and he has to throw the football away. But I just like – he's very accurate with throwing the football, more accurate than I gave him credit for. And then if they run the ball, though, like they've done in the years past, it's just going to help him. You know, they're going to face less men in the box, and he's going to have a chance to make some plays down the field.
What is it about Ben Johnson's offense that you've seen, obviously, for the last few seasons in Detroit that you're most excited about him implementing in Chicago?
The explosiveness, man, down the plays down the field. They're inside as well, so it helps when you have perfect weather every game. But just the way they make plays down the field. The running game was always there. You had Montgomery, and then was it Jahmyr Gibbs they're making big plays in the running game. And just the diversity of plays he ran. You know, the what's the word I'm looking for? I don't think of a good – the amount of different stuff he did every game and the trick plays, it was just fun to watch. The Detroit offense with him at the helm was one of my favorite teams to watch.
We are talking to Brian Urlacher, not just about what he thinks about football. I know an event is coming up we want to get to discuss as well, but staying in this vein for now, when you look at the Bears, I assume you're still looking at it based on scouting as a linebacker. You're still looking at it based on how you would try to defend it or maybe how you would try to mess it up or what it would be like to be on the other side. What stands out to you about like maybe the Ben Johnson offense where you're saying to yourself, this would have given me trouble?
Man, the misdirection plays, and like I said, the trick plays, because he's always got something in there for, I feel like, every team. You know, they always have some of the – and they all worked. All their plays worked, I feel like, up there in Detroit as well. All their trick plays never backfired on him. I'm not sure how aggressive he'll be as a head coach with those fourth down plays. You know, I think Dan Campbell gave him a lot. When you have four downs to get a first down, knowing that going into a series, that you're probably going to – and fourth and one or two, you go for it every time. I think you can be a little more free with your play calling, maybe get a little more freedom. And then, like I said, I'm not sure how aggressive he'll be as a head coach, but he's, I assume, very similar to Campbell. Like I said, the complexity of the plays they ran, the running game was different, the cutbacks, and then the short game passing was always really good for them as well. So you got to be on your toes when you're playing a team like that.
Brian, I'd love to see how this is going to work, the meshing, the step forward that Ben Johnson can have Caleb Williams take. But I want to take you back before Ben Johnson got here. I don't know if you've followed the story at all about what happened before the draft with his dad getting involved and the possibility they were going to try to work their way around the Bears. What did you make of this idea that they were trying to avoid the Bears, because it has been a place that people are not confident that a quarterback, a franchise level quarterback, can come to and flourish?
I heard something about that. I honestly didn't think anything of it at all. You know, whether it's true or not, doesn't matter, because once they draft you, you're pretty much going there. So you cannot want to go there. You can try and work your way around it. But I think Eli Manning was the only one successful at doing that. Maybe John Elway back in the day when he set out a year or something like that. But, you know, these days, and you just play for the team that drafts you. I can't see any situation where you wouldn't want to be the number one pick, no matter what team it is. Your mentality should be you're going to go in there and change the direction of that organization. I'm sure that's what he has now. Like I said, I heard a little bit about it, but I really didn't read too much into it.
Well, and you're a football dad yourself, as we know. Your son, Kennedy, played for Notre Dame. They had a great season as well. You know, what do you think about this?
He actually transferred from Notre Dame, but he was there last year.
Yeah.
He just went out to USC in the spring transfer portal. So, yeah, it's been fun watching him. You know, last year going to all those games, those playoff games, and the national championship was really cool. You get a chance to see him get out there and play a little bit. Didn't play a lot. That's why he transferred. He wanted to get a chance to get on the field. So he transferred to USC, and I think he'll get that opportunity out there. But it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, and I wanted to ask you about that, just what it was like observing, you know, at this level, you know, being that high at the highest levels of football, when you're talking about just your observations of last season, and then the decision going into it and being able to have that freedom to pick from these big schools like this and being able to do something. Not the case when you were playing in college, as you know.
Yeah, so much different now. You're right. You know, I'm a dad, I try and root for my son and the team as much as I can. I try and stay out of all the, you know, there's so much stuff that goes into it and goes around it, all the parents talking and just, so if we can, we sit away from the family section so I don't have to hear all that stuff. But, you know, I want to root for every kid. That's just the way it is. I'm a big fan of the game. But yeah, the landscape of college football is so different now with the transfer portal and the NIL. I understand it. I don't have to like it. But it benefited my son because he got a chance to go to a place where he'll probably get to play a little bit more than he would have at Notre Dame. But it's just amazing the landscape and the money these kids are getting. I'm glad they're getting paid. I think most of them deserve it, and they've earned it. But it's just changing the whole dynamic of college football.
We're talking to Brian Urlacher, who you can also see on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. And I just wanted to follow up real quick with asking, what advice do you think you can give him at this time? And how much of it, as you said, it's so different from era to era. How much of it can you give, knowing that college football and that whole landscape is so different? Like, do you give him as much as you would say before the NIL era, or before the transfer portal era?
All I'm concerned about is what he does on the field, if that makes sense. You know, the NIL and the transfers, the NIL will take care of itself if you play well. That's the way I feel. So when you get on the field, you need to take advantage of your opportunities. You know, run to the football. Don't make mistakes mentally. Physical errors are going to happen. You know, sometimes you're going to miss tackles, stuff like that. But when you get a chance to get in the game, take advantage of it. Run to the football. Let your coach know you deserve to be in there. And that's the only stuff in your control. The NIL and all the other junk, that'll take care of itself if you make plays.
Brian, I want to ask you, because you've been around the Bears for so long, going back this century, basically, you've been associated with the Bears. That's a 25-year chunk of your life.
I know.
Is there anything, given how honest and just straightforward you've always been in giving your opinion, is there anything you can point to as to why no quarterback has been able to kind of break through with the Bears in recent history?
Man, I wish I could answer that question. It's frustrating. I know, because we've had some talented guys there. You know, Jay, Rex was awesome. Kyle Orton was good. I'm talking about guys I played with. I thought Jim Miller was awesome. Cade was talented. It just hasn't panned out, and I don't understand why. I'd like to say the weather, but then you got the guys in Green Bay just ripping it up. Every time they get a quarterback, they just tear it up. You know, you go from Brett to Aaron to the guy they have up there now, Jordan Love. So I don't know why I said, and you can try and say coaching, but we've had some great coaches as well to mentor these guys. So, you know, I would like to see him give Mitch a little bit longer try there in Chicago. You know, he was, I think, number two or three pick in the draft. I thought he had a chance to do pretty well. It didn't work out. I don't know, honestly, man. It's frustrating as a fan to see the way it's gone with quarterbacks. But I like where Caleb's going. I think he has the tools and the talent. And now with Ben Johnson there, they should be doing pretty well together.
Brian, I asked you this question at a casino in Michigan City a couple of years ago, but I'll ask it again. Being a Hall of Famer, who do you think is the next Bear to make the Pro Football Hall of Fame? I remember at the time you answered Olin Krutz. How do you feel?
I still feel the same, man. I don't see how Olin – he doesn't even get any – like, they don't even talk about Olin, which drives me crazy. And you could also throw Charles in that conversation. You know, Pep got in. Devin got in right away. Olin to me is the guy who should get in. You know, you look at his resume, I think 8 or 9 Pro Bowls, 12 or – what, 13, 14 years – I was very fortunate because I got to practice against the best center in the league every single day in practice. It benefited my career. It benefited our defenses, playing ability. So it drives me crazy. Whenever I get a chance to talk about it, I bring up Olin because in my opinion, he's the one guy that needs to be in there.
Okay. Aaron Rodgers is still playing football, Brian. Yeah. He's now on the Steelers. What do you make of him continuing his career with Mike Tomlin and the gang in Pittsburgh?
So I'm an Aaron Rodgers fan. People can get mad if they want to. I like the way he plays. I like what he stands for. I like what he says. I'm a fan. My wife's a Steelers fan, so she's over the moon about him being there. I'm not as excited as she is. But as a football fan, I want to see what he can do with that team. You know, they got a great defense. They got DK Metcalf. They got some guys on offense that can play. So if Aaron, you know, comes back 2 years after that Achilles injury the way we think he will, I think they'll have a good season.
What's their ceiling in your eyes?
Oh, they're in a tough division, man. You got Cincy, Baltimore, Cleveland, maybe not so great. But I would say 11, 12 wins. You know, Tomlin's never finished under 500. I don't see that happening this year.
This is just a preview of, I think, what we can expect on Sunday. I know you're here with us for a pretty cool event. The City Cruises Live Sports Series, A Night with Chicago Football Conference Champions. Join Brian Urlacher, Rex Grossman, Alex Brown, as the Bears great share iconic moments, career highlights, and hilarious tales from their days on the gridiron. Yours is coming up on Sunday. This is going to be a cool event. What can you tell us about it?
It should be a blast. And like you said, Rex will be there. I haven't seen Rex in 15 years, so I'm excited to see that dude. Maybe 12 years. AB, I talk to all the time, so I'm excited to see him and hang out. 3 hours on that boat, you know, we're going to talk about Jeff Joniak will be the MC, you know, the pretty much, in my opinion, the voice of the Bears. So it should be a fun couple of hours just reminiscing about that 2006 season, what we did, what we didn't do, what we should have done, some of the stories that maybe happened in the locker room. And it's going to be an intimate setting, you know, on that boat. We'll all be right there around each other. So it should be pretty fun.
Is there any story preview you can give us that people might want to hear on the lake?
Oh, man. You know, I'm going to let – so Jeff Doniak's leading this thing. I'm going to let Jeff – and he's like the Bears guy. He knows everything about the Bears. He knows everything about that season. I'm going to let him lead it. You know, we'll answer the questions he asked. We'll also ask some fan questions. But I'm assuming – I mean, my favorite memory is getting that George Halas trophy at Soldier Field. We were standing on the stage with Ms. McCaskey, and they after we beat the Saints up that day, they gave us the George Halas trophy in front of our fans with the snow coming down. Was pretty awesome.
We love it. That is a great preview. Brian Urlacher, thank you so much for taking the time and joining us on Twitch. We've all enjoyed looking at your game balls in the Hall of Fame list. Yeah.
Thanks so much, Brian.
Thank you.
Thanks, Brian. That was Brian Urlacher joining us here on Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score. I see what you did there at the end.
Well, I didn't force a question on him. I just need to know what exactly was going on with the Pittsburgh Steelers, because he said, I am an Aaron Rodgers fan unapologetically, and believes, what do you say, 11, 12 wins? That gets you in the playoffs, right?
That gets you in the playoffs.
And you can't get to the Super Bowl unless you're in the playoffs.
You're not a Super Bowl team.
So if you want ticket information, I'll mention it one more time. cityexperiences.com/city-cruises. That's cityexperiences.com/city-cruises. This is the company that is putting these events together. AJ Pierzynski was part of one of these earlier, so you kind of have an idea of what to expect. So that is this Sunday with Brian Urlacher, as he mentioned, Jeff Joniak, Rex Grossman, and Alex Brown.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features Swift Rinse Tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Baseball's number one digital destination is the MLB app. And this app's got game. Like game highlights, live games, fantasy games, and more.
The gem of a game!
This is baseball your way. With stats, scores, breaking news, and daily custom content that hits every time.
A monster shot!
Because here, you choose the teams and pick the players you want to follow.
All year long.
So when they catch it on the field,
what a catch!
You catch it on the MLB app. Download today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth. For a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
With the 10th pick in the 2025 MLB draft, the Chicago White Sox select Billy Carlson, a shortstop from Corona High School in Corona, California. With the 17th pick of the 2025 MLB draft, the Chicago Cubs select Ethan Conrad, an outfielder from Wake Forest.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score. Always fun to see the young players come into an organization, and who better to talk to about it? But Jim Callis does an unbelievable job, MLB Pipeline, also with the MLB Network. Watched him on the draft, and of course, Marquee. And Jim joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo. Jim, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing okay. How are you guys doing?
Doing well.
We are having fun because obviously the baseball season continues. The trade deadline swells up, and now the coffers are full of players. We've seen both teams go ahead and grab a bunch of young players. Jim, is the draft different in baseball than in other sports? And I ask that just because I think of the White Sox as needing outfielders, and I get it. You know, the best athletes at the high school level are shortstops, and so you draft a lot of high school shortstops, and you think you can get them to play all over the field. But I just couldn't help but notice that the Sox, as well as they did, and they had a lot of high picks, and I love the kid from Naz. He's an outfielder. But I just wonder, did they need to take more college outfielders, or are those guys not the kind of guys that play outfield in MLB? I couldn't help but notice that they didn't load up on the position they seemed thinnest at in terms of the major league team.
Yeah, there's a couple things that are different about the MLB draft compared to the other drafts. And also point out, this year's college hitter crop was not very good. This was not the year you wanted to be taken the college bats high. But I think the two biggest differences between baseball and, say, football and basketball are, one, the players aren't going to step right into the big leagues like they are in the other sports. So you're not going to draft for need. You may need outfielders now, and they do need outfielders. They need a lot of things. But you aren't, you know, whoever you take isn't stepping into that outfield right away anyway. So you're thinking more long-term, and you're taking the best available player, even more so in the other sports. And then, two, and this wasn't necessarily a factor in the position they took, I think with the bonus pools in MLB, where you have very set limits on what you can spend, and if you go over those by more than 5%, you start losing first-round draft picks, you have to kind of know the ability as well as the signability. What one player is going to cost you is going to affect how much money you have to spend on the rest of the draft. Whereas in the other sports, you pretty much know what the guys are going to make when you take them. You know, you're just taking, if you think a guy belongs in a certain spot, you take him and you know what you're paying him. In baseball, you know, especially as you get a little further into the draft, past the first few picks, there may be a guy who falls a little bit who's super talented, but if you take him, it's going to blow up your whole budget. So you have to kind of keep that into consideration, too.
So let's look at specifics. The White Sox take Billy Carlson, high school shortstop, at number 10. The Cubs take Ethan Conrad, college outfielder, at 17. What do you think about their paths to the majors?
Yeah, they're both very interesting. You know, Carlson, the White Sox, you know, doing all the mock drafts that I do, you figured they were going to want high school shortstops with the strength of this draft. And it looks like the White Sox are going to wind up with a high school shortstop just based on where they picked and how the picks ahead of them were going to unfold. Carlson, you know, the most positive thing you say about him is I've had scouts, we've had multiple scouts tell us he's the best high school defensive shortstop they've ever seen. I mean, he's that good of a defender. And, you know, if you're going to say a high school shortstop's going to win a gold glove, it's that guy. He's got some power to him also. He could be a 20-homer guy as well. The one caveat that comes with him, and this is going to sound weird for a guy you pick 10th, because a lot of guys I talk to don't like his swing at all and think you have to redo his swing. And while that, when I first heard that, I was like, whoa, that doesn't sound very good. For whatever reason, and I'm not a hitting expert, the people who say that are like, yeah, but it's an easy fix. So I think there is a little question with the hitting ability on Billy Carlson, but people think it's some simple changes you can make to his swing and his setup and he'll be okay. But that's the caveat he comes with. With Ethan Conrad, because it's funny, that, you know, I was mentioning before, it's not a good year for college, you know, position players at all. You know, the first college position player taken was Ivar Ked out of Oregon State. And if he was in last year's draft, you know, he would have gone behind Cam Smith, who the Cubs took at 14 and you know, obviously traded to get Kyle Tucker. And if Cam Smith had been in this year's draft, he would have been the number one overall pick. And that's not based on what he's done as a pro. That's based on what he did in college. It just, the crop this year was down. But Conrad was one of my favorite guys. And I had a feeling he was going to go higher than I think all of the media people, including ourselves, had him ranked in the 20s. But I had a feeling he was going to go higher. He wound up diving for a fly ball in March, and he hurt his shoulder, and he wound up missing the whole season, or the rest of the season. So he didn't really get a chance to play, and I think that limited you know, his exposure and the hype on him. But he's a really good all-around player. He has a chance to hit for average. He could be a 20-plus homer guy, good approach at the plate, pretty good athlete, chance to stick in center field. Really solid all-around guy. And it kind of reminds me of a situation a couple of years ago where the Guardians took an outfielder named Chase DeLauder. He's one of the better prospects in baseball. And he missed about half of his season as well. And they took him right in the middle of the draft. They took him at 16. The Cubs got Conrad at 17. I really like Conrad. He's got a little bit of everything. It's performance, it's tools, you know, the metrics in terms of swing decisions and that type of thing. It's a very, very good package. So I really like that pick.
I got to say that I think that it was curious to me to see how both teams did and the way they kind of, you know, I think that it was something like 16 of their 20 picks were from the college ranks for the Cubs or were college, a lot of college arms. They had 13, I believe, pitchers taken, whereas the White Sox kind of were going about it a little differently. You know, it's just it's where each team is at. It's kind of where you are in your development, if you will.
No, definitely. I mean, the Cubs, you know, they're obviously winning now. They have one of the best records in baseball. They took, I mean, I still think earlier you're taking who you think the best available players are. But if you look even at the history of the way those teams draft, the Cubs, you know, under Dan Kantrovitz have taken a lot of college players with early picks. And if you look at the White Sox, under Mike Shirley, they've taken a lot of high school picks. And obviously the White Sox have a, you know, longer term picture than the Cubs do. You know, Cubs are trying to win now. The White Sox are just trying to get back to respectability. But, you know, I mean, a lot of the White Sox best prospects, whether it's, you know, Noah Schultz or Colson Montgomery or, you know, George Walkow or Caleb Bonnemer are all high school. You know, they have some college guys too, but many of their best prospects and many of their early picks have been high school guys. But I think they both just kind of leaned into what they're most comfortable at, most comfortably doing.
So you look at the Sox second round pick, and Jaden Fowski has a relationship with Jim Thome from Nazareth, and he played with Thome's son, and certainly Thome's a big force in that White Sox front office. Beyond that, I mean, what is beyond that? It's not just the connection that got him drafted by the White Sox, I don't believe, but what does his future look like?
Yeah, it's funny. The White Sox have taken a lot of guys who've played for their area code games team, which is a showcase team over the years. You know, Noah Schultz, you know, I mentioned Bonnemer, Wolkow. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody else obvious. They've taken a lot. Blake Larson was a guy, another one. They've taken a lot of guys who played for that team, as did Fowski, because you get to know those guys pretty well. Your scouts coach those teams and get to know the players. But yeah, Fowski was not a nepo kick at all, or hey, let's do Thome a favor. He's one of the better high school hitters in the draft and a pretty good athlete. You know, scouts wanted to see him catch. I don't know whether it's he didn't want to catch or what, but he didn't catch much this year. But he's more focused on developing as a center fielder. He's got, you know, solid speed, really advanced hitting ability, another 20 home run guy, really good hitter. And it's funny because he was tied to the White Sox. I mean, we all joke, those of us who do this professionally, hey, you know, which area code guy are they going to take in the second round? but I honestly, and I even had, you know, the White Sox have a lot of good fan sites and bloggers who really cover the team well. One of them was asking me about Fowski, and I was like, I don't think he's going to get to their pick, because there were rumors. There were three or four teams on him, you know, with interest in the sandwich round between first and the second round. But, you know, he just, it's funny. You could kind of, if you had told me that he would be on the board with that pick, then I would say, like, I would have told you 100%. Well, I bet that's their guy. Not surprised at all. He's really, really good. You know, the comparison you get a little bit is maybe a little bit smaller, a little less athletic version of Jason Wirth, who was also, he was an Illinois high school catcher who was kind of, you know, much bigger than your typical catcher and wound up becoming an all-star outfielder. And, you know, some people saw some parallels between Fowski and Wirth.
Jim, we've been obviously talking quite a bit about the realities of the trade deadline and what you give up and how you go about it. And we were talking about Owen Casey, and, you know, we think about him as coming to the Cubs. It's almost like a lotto-type pick in the Yu Darvish trade. He was one of the many scratch-offs they got, and he's wound up to be an excellent player. And the question is, do you have to trade him now in one of these deals if you're getting a pitcher? I don't know how teams look at the particular players within their system or how you line them up, if other teams are willing to accept other players or how they, you know, how there's a reason that you put together lists of players in the top 100 and the top 30 for each team. How do teams view that? Do they have this a similar type of list that they keep? Is that how they go about putting trades together?
Yeah, sorry, I've got my post-draft voice. I'm coughing. excuse me for a second. Casey is the Cubs' best prospect, and I think he is their most desirable prospect. You know, and normally you'd say the Cubs wouldn't want to necessarily give him up, but they also have such a pretty set lineup, and the guys they have in AAA are kind of blocked. I'm a big Owen Casey fan. I've always been a big Owen Casey fan. I don't know where he plays on the Cubs. I mean, the only spot you've had, you know, for this year at least, you know, we could talk about whether Kyle Tucker's there in 2026, which is a whole other question.
Right.
But this year, I mean, unless you're going to bench Ian Happ, which I don't think they're going to do, you have literally no place for him to play in the lineup. I mean, you got PCA, you got Tucker, you got Suzuki at DH. You know, and similarly, you have guys, you know, like Ballesteros is kind of blocked. Moises Ballesteros, who's a catching prospect who may not be able to necessarily be an everyday catcher in the big leagues. And you have Kevin Alcantara, who's a, you know, real athletic, toolsy outfielder, who's also in AAA, and he has no place to play. He's had a cup of coffee with the Cubs. So, I mean, if you're the Cubs, I don't think you necessarily want to trade your best prospect. But I think, you know, they haven't, what, have they won one playoff series since the World Series in 2016?
Yep.
And that was in 2017. You know, there's a lot of anxiety. You know, this is obviously a good team has an opportunity, and I think while you always hate to part with prospects, I do think those guys are even maybe more expendable than they would normally be just because of the way the big league team is set up and there's no place to play those guys. And also just the kind of desire to, you know, do something in the playoffs for the first time in almost 10 years.
Quickly before I let you go, Jim, two guys I'd like to project in terms of where they're headed. Brandon Summerhill from Whitney Young was drafted by the Rays in 42nd overall. And then in the 10th round, the Diamondbacks took Brady Council, the shortstop from Kansas, who's the son of the Cubs manager.
Yeah, those guys quickly. Summerhill is one of the better all-around players in the college crop, which was down a little bit this year. If it all comes together, maybe he's a 2020 center fielder. There's a little bit of a question as to how much power he has, I think. And then, you know, it'll shock you. You know, Brady's a grinder. You know, who would have thought that coming out of the Council family? But, you know, transferred after 3 years at Minnesota, wound up at Kansas this year. He's a lot bigger than his dad. He's 6'3", 210, right-handed hitter. Power's probably his best tool, kind of a left field, second base profile. His biggest claim to fame, other than obviously the name, is Kansas tied a record this year by hitting 5 straight home runs in a game, and he hit the 5th one to tie the record. But he very much similar makeup to his dad.
Great stuff.
Great stuff. Jim, thanks a ton. Always a joy to talk to you.
Thanks, Jim.
Yeah, no, always fun talking to you guys, too. Take care.
That is Jim Callis. Does an incredible job.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, Swift Rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart, for a healthier you. Smile Generation. Trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection, because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you, committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with Confidence Unleashed.
Now, the American League East, it looked like the Yankees were just going to cruise start to finish, but the Blue Jays have been the hottest team in baseball and enter the break in first place in the division for the first time since 93, the last time the Blue Jays won it all.
And watch out, the Red Sox have won 10 in a row. I'm sure the All-Star break came at the wrong time for them.
Javier Baez takes inside. I've been saying, watch
you
out
have.
For these Red Sox. People are like, watch out, 10 in a row for the Sox.
How about those Red Sox? Here we were thinking that maybe Alex Bregman might be available for someone who needed a third baseman. You know, like the Cubs, who were interested in Alex Bregman in the offseason and didn't get him. And now the Red Sox are going to help Spiegs win a bet.
I hope so. That'd be fun. Our buddy Rob Bradford, our Odyssey teammate, who does the wonderful Baseball Isn't Boring podcast and does so many things for Odyssey family in Boston, will appreciate the bet, Lawrence. Rob, I bet that the Red Sox would finish the season with a better record than the Yankees.
And he did it out of spite.
100% spite bet, dude. And it's looking good right now. They're only a game back. Let's keep going.
Well, two things. Number one, there's no two people I'd rather be talking to right now than you two. Thank you so much for having me on. And second of all, when you said that Matt had a bet, I was worried. Did I bet him something? Is this something that I'm always aware? Because I throw a lot of stuff around at the end of spring training, which looked kind of silly when you cut around this time of year. So, hey, it could happen. It could happen. It's been a nutty year, but good to talk to you guys.
Rob joins us on the Circa Resort and Casino Hotline, CircaLasVegas.com. What was your experience in Atlanta like?
You know what? I liked it. You know, I think that selfishly, everything was in one place, which is why I like Cleveland. Bizarrely, everything's in one place. You don't have to go. You don't have to go miles upon miles. Everything's in one place at that Battery area. They had the important stuff. The media availability, the drafters inside, so you're not just sweating under the sun. And I've always said this about the Braves. I said this before the All-Star game. the Braves had the best game presentation of any team in the majors, and it's not even close. And I know that MLB was a big part of that last night, but oh my goodness, like the Henry Aaron thing, like everything. It was, I thought it was pretty good. The striking thing about the game itself was how few stars are in it. I walked in the American League clubhouse and, you know, very well-meaning, excited guys, but, you know, Zach McKenstry and those sort of guys, it's, all right, yeah, congratulations for being here, but it is a stark difference from what it used to be.
That's interesting. I mean, there's some, you got Cal Raleigh, you got Aaron Judge. I mean, I guess the second
keep
realm.
Going.
Yeah.
Keep going.
I mean,
very schoolable, yeah, but, you know, it's, I just like, and you know, Matt, like, it's the thing is that when you walk into, it's sort of like how when I walked into the Red Sox clubhouse back in, you know, 2022, it was, wait a second, where's Ortiz? Where's Bogarts? Where's Betts? Where are all these guys? It's sort of the same feeling. It doesn't mean they're bad players, but it was just different. And I do think that the home run derby was cool because a lot of those players, which we might not have seen a whole lot, the Junior Caminero's and those sort of guys, O'Neill Cruz's, like that was awesome seeing those guys do what they did.
So for us, we've spent a lot of time this year talking about the breakout of Pete Crow Armstrong. And even in the last segment, we were talking about the breakout year for Pete Crow Armstrong. Is he breaking through outside of Chicago?
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know how I know this? Because the media availability, he was one of like two guys who had the extra rope around his table. In other words, like you could, for everybody else, you could go right up to the table and, you know, get right in their face and throw their mic right in their face. There's only a couple tables that had sort of the extra rope, so you had to stand like sort of the NFL thing where you have to stand 10 feet or 5 feet away. Like, and I don't know if that was a coincidence or not, but it was noticeable. And when he entered the locker room, the clubhouse yesterday, it was, boom, a ton of people right there. He has the personality. Everybody understands, like, what type of player he has become, this dynamic player. So, yeah, to answer your question, yes. And I also love the fact, a little, like, Pete Crow Armstrong fun fact. I was talking to Lucas Giolito the other day. Their mothers acted together, which I thought was a cool thing. So there you go. And the interesting thing just keeps coming for Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, it does. I mean, and then so you've dealt a lot with Lucas. You've dealt a lot with Garrett Crochet. I think the last time that we interacted with stuff on this show, Lawrence, remember the Crochet stuff that he had from the Baseball Isn't Boring podcast?
It was so good.
At the beginning of the year when Garrett had just come back.
We were out in Lindenhurst.
Yeah, we were. And now there's Crochet, the unquestioned ace, just absolutely dominant, heart and soul. It's like he didn't pitch in the game, but he's one of the best pitchers in baseball. Is he doing everything an ace is expected to do for a team in contention?
Yeah, you know, it's such an underrated thing, right? The ace protects the bullpen the day before, the day of, the day after. It's such an undervalued thing, I think, to have that guy. And when you don't have it, it's so striking. And when you do have it, it just changes everything. And it's really saved them. And I mean, their record when he pitched at the end of the year wasn't fantastic. But still, he really saved them because he was so good, because he was the one guy that you could count on. And he's been everything as advertised, including, by the way, dealing with being an ace, dealing with the environment, dealing with the expectations, dealing with the media. We forget how young this guy is, but he's done a really, really good job of managing all of it. And so, you know, you guys know him. Like, he's a good guy, but still, you're still throwing in the deep end after just 1 year of doing this. So, yeah, I mean, I think that the Red Sox are pretty happy. And conversely, you know, I think the White Sox, you know, the guys they got back, you know, I think that was for some of these trades, they really missed. I don't think they missed on that one. I think they got good players.
The Red Sox are going to be in town to take on the Cubs this weekend, 1:20 first pitch on Friday here on The Score as baseball returns. What's real about what we're seeing over the last 2 weeks with the Red Sox?
Ooh. That's a great question, because I can't say that it's absolutely real, no doubt about it, that this is scientifically proven. But, you know, what they've done recently, it's hard to ignore. I think what is real is that they know what they need at the deadline, right? They know that they need another guy who can pitch in the postseason. You have Giolito, you have Crochet, you have Bayo, but you don't know who's going to take a turn, and you have to protect yourself there. That is the thing that has carried them. But the offense, the guys, I mean, I don't know how the view was from there with the Rafael Devers stuff. That was the craziest stuff that I've seen, certainly in a June baseball season, in a long, long time. Because there were so many elements of it. And I was in Seattle for that first week after Devers got traded, and it was a bizarre scene. And then they go on and lose so many games. It looks like they can't score a run at all without Rafael Devers. And boom, out of nowhere, this Roman Anthony's good. The platoons are good. You're scoring 10 runs a game. So to answer your question, I like to think that, you know, this is for real, but I still don't know if you can do that because they were 10 games over 500 at the All-Star break last year and fell apart.
So are they locked and loaded as a buyer? Or, like, do these 2 weeks matter that start on Friday?
I mean, it would have to be a disaster for them to be sellers. And, you know, Matt, I think that the one thing, even when there was sort of in between and you were sitting at 500, even below 500, and people say, well, you're a buyer or you're a seller, I said, all I know is this. I don't know if I've seen this front office more motivated to be buyers. That doesn't mean they're going to land there and be buyers, but more motivated because they know they pushed the chips to the middle of the table with this Devers thing. The timing of it, the magnitude of it, all of that. When you do that deal in the middle of June, then you better make sure that the first step of understanding if that was a good move or a bad move is if you're a buyer or seller of the deadline. So I know that they were absolutely motivated to be a buyer, and now they're good, they have a good record, they can actually be the buyer. But the problem is, guys, is that the things they want to buy, like elite starting pitching, good luck with that, man. Like, good luck. Like, that is the hardest thing to get at the deadline. And I remember Brendan Gomes, the Dodgers GM, was on the podcast. He said, our goal every offseason is get to the trade deadline so that we don't have to pay three times what we normally have to pay. Position yourself so you aren't desperate. Well, what happens is that you're still desperate. Every team is desperate. Unfortunately for the Red Sox, they're desperate for the thing that's going to cost the most.
Rob Bradford is with us on Spiegel and Holmes. Rob, in this town, we have a very charming, historically relevant ball club with a beautiful vintage stadium that finally broke through and won a World Series. And we wonder just how motivated ownership is to do that again. In Boston, there is virtually the same thing. Now, they won three times. Are they motivated to win it again and again?
I assume you're not talking about Guaranteed Rate Field, right?
We could have, and I appreciate you not participating in White Sox erasure, because we have seen a lot of White Sox championship erasure, and I'm glad that someone like you who loves the game did not participate in it. I am sending you a White Sox jersey.
We have a flurry of baseballs and boring black and white t-shirts just for the White Sox. I love the White Sox. I don't love their Uber and Lyft locations, but I love the White Sox. So I will say this, is that, you know, it's funny when you're talking about that. You know, Tom Werner slipped up before last season, and he said, you know, people are going to come for the Fenway experience. And everyone's like, really? Like, it was like the scene at the end of the movie Flight where Denzel Washington says, I just ran out of lies. I just had to tell the truth. And that's how it felt. They're like, we give up. Like, people are just going to come, and they're going to come for the Fenway experience. You know what? I just look at it like I just think that the Cubs are really good, man. Like, I love the fact that we're coming out of the gate with this series. I love the fact of, like, what the Cubs – I know that people will pick apart their roster, and like, they're going to pick apart every one of these rosters. But I love that, you know, how good they are, how good defensively they are. And also, selfishly, I also like some of the personalities on the team, guys. Like, I think that goes a long way. I talked about this with the Dodgers last year, where, you know, I thought an underrated key thing about that team was that bullpen of how many personalities you have were just secure in themselves. They weren't worried about, you know, they're having a bad outing and then they worry about they're going to be sent down. Like, I love that dynamic. I love the veteran presence. I love the confidence, like we talk of PC, you know, like Pete Crow Armstrong. I love all of that. So, yeah, so I think I think I'm answering your question because I had the movie Flight, that line in my head, so I may have missed the mark. But, yeah, I think that the Cubs, I love the Cubs, and I hope that they pack things out.
Rob, we really appreciate your time, man. Thank you so much for giving us your point of view on everything that went down in Atlanta and what the current state of baseball. We'll talk to you soon, man.
Always a pleasure, guys. I'll talk to you soon.
Robert Mays!
Host of the Athletic Football Show, Robert Mays.
We're talking football with Robert Mays of the Athletic Football Show.
You've given him everything you can hope to give him now. The offensive line, will see how it all gels, but the personnel should be there to at least be a reliable unit. You combine that with the play, with the pass catchers, and then to me, it's the relationship with the play caller and the offensive coordinator. You look at what happened last year, and it just never worked. There was never any sort of synergy between what Shane Waldron wanted to do and what Caleb Williams wanted to do.
Robert Mays out here just telling the truth casually. Telling the truth casually on the Athletic Football Show that he hosts. You can find him on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at Robert Mays. He joins us here on Raheemy and Harris. Russell Dorsey in for Layla on this Monday. You can also check him out on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670, the score. Robert Mays joining us on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Robert, what a day to be able to talk to you after what we saw happen late on Friday as the news is revealed that an extension has been given out to Ryan Poles, which will take his contract now through 2029, aligning him with the same length of contract remaining as one Ben Johnson, the head coach of the Chicago Bears. What's your initial reaction to this news and the fact that we even learned the terms of the contract?
It's very clear. I think the Bears are trying to help with the messaging here a little bit. They've been slammed for a very long time for misalignment within the organization, whether that's teams being or front offices being allowed to draft a quarterback before getting fired, GMs and head coaches being on different timelines with different motivations. I think it's very clear here that they want everyone to know that things are different now. Things are aligned here now. Everyone is moving in lockstep. And I feel like that's why we got so much transparency with the terms of this, where we don't often in these situations.
Robert, before you came on, we were going through the good, the bad, and we're going to get to the ugly of the Ryan Poles era in Chicago. When you think over the last couple of years, if I'm a fan out there and I say, Robert, give me some glimmer of hope as to why this is a good decision for the Chicago Bears, the charter franchise of the NFL, what would it be?
I guess the first thing I'd say is I don't see this as necessarily a reflection of how well he's done at the job. I think this is more about getting everyone on the same page and letting everyone know that we're on the same page. When it comes to how good of a job he's done, I think that this is, if you are trying to spin this as they're rewarding him for a job well done, what they're trying to tell you here is the coaching staff was very, very bad. The roster here is good. That's not the problem. Whether you want to buy that, I think, is up to you. And I also think we should probably take into account that Ryan Poles had a job in hiring the coaching staff. That to me is one of the number one issues, or maybe the number one issue that we've had in the Ryan Poles tenure, is what happened with Matt Eberflus and the decision to keep Matt Eberflus last offseason. I feel like that's one of the biggest strikes against him. Obviously, the Chase Claypool trade is one of the worst trades we've seen in the NFL in the last several years. And I've said this before, to me speaks to one of the broader issues when it comes to how I see the Ryan Poles tenure. I think too often he gets into his mind, I need to make this happen, right? The Chase Claypool thing, I feel like, is something that was marinating even before the season started. They got to the trade deadline. They wanted to get Justin Fields a weapon. The reporting at the time said that the Packers were willing to trade a second round pick for Chase Claypool. And so Ryan Poles said, I'm going to make this happen. I'm not going to let him go to Green Bay. I think too often that's been the case, where he's not willing to live out some of this uncertainties. Like, I need to do this even if there's some downside to it. You know, we've seen that even in moves that didn't happen, but almost did. that clip of him trying to trade up for Roma Dunze in the first round of that draft in the top 10, I feel like he does that a lot, where he gets in his mind that it has to be this way, and it gets him into trouble every so often. But overall, I think if you look at the talent on the roster, I think it's solid enough to justify some optimism here. I feel like the people that have been tasked with putting this roster in the correct positions to succeed, those are the guys that have failed, and I think those are the that's the reason those guys are no longer here.
Robert Mays from the Athletic Football Show joining us here on Raheem and Harris, Russell Dorsey in for Layla. Robert, everything you just laid out, I'm just curious, is there any evidence supporting the claim that Ryan Poles has done a good job with the draft, though? And that's really what has to happen for the Bears to take the next step forward, in my mind.
I'm not sure. I mean, if you look at the draft picks over the last several years, I think that there are obviously some misses. When the Velus Jones pick is the one that comes to mind when those early drafts. But since then, I feel like they've gotten decent returns out of their early draft picks. Kyler Gordon just got extended. Jaquan Brisker has been a solid player when healthy. Braxton Jones, even if he's not your left tackle of the future, has absolutely outplayed a fifth-round draft slot. Gervon Dexter, I feel like, is still an ascending player, and I'm curious to see what he does in year three. I'm not out on Tyreek Stevenson yet. Obviously, last year was a terrible season, but the flashes he showed as a rookie and just how volatile cornerback play is in general, I absolutely have some faith that that can still work out. We'll see what happens with Caleb Williams, and we'll see what happens with Roma Dunze, but that's really it. I mean, those are the first and second round picks that we've seen so far, and I think those are the guys you want to be starters. I mean, really the only third round pick outside of Velus Jones that hasn't done much that we would expect something from is somebody like Zach Pickens, and you know, third round picks are hit or miss. They're 50-50. So I think to this point, I'm not overly disappointed in what the returns have been from the draft. Obviously, we'll have to wait and see what happens with Caleb and what happens with Rome this year.
Now, Robert, we're talking about the draft, so I want to stick on a draft topic with you, and you're covering all of the NFL, not just the Chicago Bears. I'm very curious by this because we're in the middle of summer and baseball's going on, so people might not realize 30 of the 32 second-round picks from this year's drafts are still unsigned as camps open. For people out there that don't understand what's going on here, what's going on, and at what point should fans of teams be concerned that what should be an impact player for you in the second round is not in camp signed?
I think that this is, we used to do this all the time, right? I mean, there used to be so many more bits of tension around rookie draft pick contract conversations just because those deals weren't slotted. And so now I think we've seen teams start to institute what they want to be new benchmarks when it comes to guarantees, and that's where some of the tension has happened. It's happening with Shamar Stewart in Cincinnati because they tried to set a new precedent last year with their first round picks, and now it's happening with all of these second round picks. I guess the only solace you can take as a fan is that every single team is essentially dealing with this. So every team's second round pick is probably going to be on some sort of messed up development timeline. But I think this is just an indication that as we try to figure out some of the nuances with the guarantees, there are going to be bits of tension under this CBA that we just haven't seen up to this point.
Robert Mays joining us. He's the host of the Athletic Football Show covering the NFL. And of course, if you're watching on Twitch, you see it. You see the Cubs hat. You see the Bears stuff in the background. This guy wants Chicago to be good at football. My question is, what are the realistic expectations for the Bears, knowing what we know now about Ryan Poles, Ben Johnson, and a pressure cooker that's ready for now Caleb Williams to step into it?
I think a realistic expectation is for them to push to be a wild card team this year. I mean, they have, again, GM just got extended. They supposedly have enough roster talent to be competitive. If you look at the team overall, I think that there are going to be questions about how it all comes together. How do all the pass catching options fit together? How does the offensive line, the majority of which, 60% of which, is going to be playing together for the first time in year one, how does that all gel? How does Ben Johnson take to being a play calling head coach versus just an offensive coordinator? What happens with some of the younger players on defense? Do we get bounce back seasons from people like Tyreek Stevenson? But I think if you just set it to like a reasonable set of outcomes, like the median set of outcomes for this team, I think they should hover somewhere around 500. And if the offense is as good as it can be based on what Ben Johnson has done and based on the pieces that they have, I see no reason to believe that, or not to believe that, they can't be a competitive team that tries to fight for a playoff spot this year.
Robert, if I said the Chicago Bears are successful because of X. Is all the answers Caleb Williams, or is there something else that you look at with this team and say, outside of Caleb, this is going to be the reason they're successful?
I think it's just about getting the most out of your offensive players. And that's been the issue over the last several years. And I mean, listen, it's been the issue for the majority of the 37 years I've been on this planet, outside of like one or two seasons. This has not been a place where you get the most out of your offensive talent. And I think that we've seen that so often around the NFL over the last few years. You have these scenarios with these coaching staffs and these offensive coaching staffs in particular, where you're getting the best versions of all of these guys on that side of the ball. And I think that's part of the reason I'm not willing to write in pen what some of these drafts have been. Like, I'm still holding out hope that we'll get an even better version of Darnell Wright than we've ever gotten. And I think you can extend that to the skill position players. Like, is DJ Moore now in a spot where he has hopefully the best offensive coordinator he's probably ever had in the NFL? Do we see the best version of him? So I don't necessarily think Caleb Williams needs to be a superstar this year, as long as you're getting the best versions of everyone else on the offense. And that would just be so, so different than what we're used to seeing in Chicago, where even if these players are talented, it never comes together for them. And I'm really, really hoping that we start to see a shift there.
What are you most excited about when it comes to this Bears team? I know there's so many different things and different positions you could put a focus on, but what are you personally, Robert, most excited about?
I'm just excited to see how the pass catching options fit together and what it looks like with Caleb Williams. I just feel like the offense in Detroit, they had such a solid understanding of how they wanted to use all of those skill position players. Jameson Williams is the one that comes to mind for me. Like, the plan for how they were going to get the ball in Jameson Williams' hands, even as like essentially a de facto role player for a majority of the time that he's been there. I just think that there's a real thoughtfulness to how that offense is constructed and how they all want it to fit together. And I think that extends to the offensive line as well. Like, this is another example of, you look at that group in Detroit and just how good they were against the blitz, for example, and how buttoned up and organized everything seemed to be. I'm just excited to watch, hopefully, that version of an offense in Chicago, because we just don't get to watch that very often. And there are so many moments in so many years where it just felt like they had no shot on Sunday when things would get started. They were at a disadvantage before the game even started. And I'm really hoping that it feels different this year, where it feels like they're on the other end of the spectrum, where the people in charge of constructing that side of the ball are giving them an advantage before the first play even happens.
Robert, I know we're looking at the NFL. Really, it starts this week with training camps opening for rookies reporting, including here in Chicago. Around the league, is there a surprise storyline that you're really keeping an eye on? Because it's been no secret, I'm like, Aaron Rodgers in Pittsburgh has all of my attention, because I just want to see what happens, especially not knowing what's going to happen with TJ Watt on the flip side of that with the defense.
I think that for me, it's looking at the teams just clustered in the middle of the NFL. I was looking at over-unders yesterday just to get a sense of expectations for teams. And there is a group at like 8.5, 9.5 wins that I just find absolutely fascinating. The Rams, Washington, the Bucks are in there. The Bengals are in there. The Dolphins are in there. Just which direction that group of teams goes and kind of how it shapes the middle class of the league this year, I'm very, very interested in that. Because yeah, even a team like the Texans, you know, the Texans, they were the darlings of the league a couple of years ago, obviously took a step back last year, especially on offense. They have a new offensive coordinator. They have a young quarterback that I think everybody is excited about if he's in better circumstances, which he should be this year. So just that entire group of teams that feels jumbled in the middle, who emerges from that group as like a real competitor and a real competitive team, and who kind of falls back? That's just one thing that I'm really excited to watch play out, because I find most of those teams really compelling for one reason or another.
He is Robert Mays, host of the Athletic Football Show, joining us here on Raheemy and Harris with Russell Dorsey in for Layla. Robert, before we get you out of here, we got to talk about your trip that you just took. You and Russell have something in common. You both love Europe. You both love the continent. You both love to check things out. 708 on the text line says, he just got back from Europe. Make sure you ask him a food question at the end. He's so good when talking about restaurant and food wrecks. Of course, you have your doc that is in your pinned tweet on Twitter with all the Chicago food restaurant recommendations. What can you tell us about this latest tour of Europe and your food discoveries?
We were in Italy for about 8 days, and we did all of northern Italy. So Milan, Bologna, Modena, Torino, and then we were in Lake Como for 3 days. And we just ate extremely well. And the thing that probably surprised me the most, we went to Torino, which is in the Piedmont area of Italy, which is essentially squeezed between the borders of Italy, Switzerland, and France. And so they have pasta and all the normal Italian stuff, but it's also very French. And so just the stuff we ate there with these cheese and meat filled pastas just like drenched in butter snuck up on me in a big way. So that entire area of the world, whether it's Turin, Bologna, all of Emilia Romagna, like all of that place is just insane. The what you can get food wise, like the high end stuff, but also just any sandwich that you're eating on the street. So if you have a chance and you really love Italian food, I think that area of the world is pretty generally underexplored for people.
And of course, the food much better for you because it's real food.
100%.
This segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. I see you got the Cubs hat. You're representing. Tell me how you feel. It's the All-Star break. Are you optimistic? Are you anxious? How do you feel about the Cubs right now?
I mean, it's hard not to be excited about like what the offense is capable of and what they feel like every single day. I just have this sinking feeling that we're going to get to after the trade deadline. Everyone's going to be disappointed about the level of urgency. And then this is going to be a fun team that kind of gets lost to history.
Wow, that's very Bearsian of you. apocalyptic view on the Cubs after the deadline. Wow. Woof.
That's a beaten man right
here. I don't think I was ready for that level of just... Like,
I already know they're not going to get a frontline starter and settle for somebody's number four. And
is there somebody at the top of your wish list since you're trying to be, I guess... Pragmatic.
I'm trying not to get my hopes up that much. I'd rather be pleasantly surprised by everything that happens here over the next few weeks. I think that's typically how I approach this.
It's a good way to think. I'm with him. Like you can't just it has to be Sandy Alcantara or nobody. Like you can't think that way.
All right. Come on down, Adrian Hauser. We appreciate your time, Robert. Thanks so much. You can catch him again, the host of the Athletic Football Show. That is Robert Mace.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hate doing cardio? Try brushing and flossing your teeth. I'm not talking about building up a sweat. I'm talking about building a healthier mouth for a healthier heart for a healthier you. Smile Generation trusted dentists look at your care through the lens of the mouth-body connection because what happens in the mouth plays a critical role for the rest of your body. To find a dentist near you committed to treating all of you, visit smilegeneration.com/confidence today and live longer, healthier, and happier with confidence unleashed.
Bitcoin might sound complicated, but the Gemini credit card makes it so simple. Use it like any credit card. Buy lunch, gas, or your weekly groceries, and you'll earn up to 4% back instantly in Bitcoin or one of over 50 other cryptos straight to your account. No annual fee. And right now, you can grab a $200 Bitcoin intro bonus. It's the easiest way to start building your Bitcoin stash. Go to Gemini.com/card to learn more. Terms apply.
Issued by WebBank in order to qualify for the $200 crypto intro bonus, you must be approved by June 30th, 2025 and spend $3,000 in your first 90 days. Terms apply. Some exclusions apply to instant rewards in which rewards are deposited when the transaction posts. This content is not investment advice and trading crypto involves risk. For more details on rates, fees, and other Gemini credit card terms, see rates and fees.